Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Devarim. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landes, the Rosh HaYeshiva and Director of Pardes, discusses Devarim. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. Today we approach the new book of Devarim, Deuteronomy. And the parsha is Deuteronomy, and this precedes the week of saying of the resuscitation of Echa, on Tisha B'Av, the lamentation, the kina, the pain, the poem of tremendous pain to God about the destruction of Jerusalem twice over. And in our parsha, in our Haftorah, we hint at this reading. The parsha says, Moshe complains and says to God, asks from God, Echa asol avadi torchachem umasachem verivchem. How am I going to bear this all by myself? Their tircha, their tediousness, Masachem, their burden, Rivchem, their argumentation. I can't do it alone. And therefore, Moshe asks for help. And the Midrash comments that two other prophets say the same term as Echa. Three uttered prophecies, the rabbis say at the very beginning of Lamentations, Rabbah, Devarim Rabbah, the Midrashic comment on the Book of Lamentations, three uttered prophecies using the word Echa. How can it be, or how does, or how can I? Moses, we just did this from Sefer Devarim, Yishayahu, Isaiah, and Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, the author of not only his work Jeremiah, but also of Echa. Moses says, Echa sol vadi, how can myself alone bear your tediousness? Isaiah said, and there, and this is found in the Haftorah. Echa haytal zona kirya ne'amana meleiti mishpat tzedek yelin ba v'ata meratzchim. Echa, how can it be? Echa, how can it be? She has become a harlot, a zona, who has this faithful city, Jerusalem, that was filled with justice, where righteousness dwelt, but now murderers, only murderers dwell there. Alas, or Echa, how can it be? She has become a harlot, the faithful city that was filled with justice, where righteousness dwelt, but now murderers. And that we find in our Haftorah. And then finally, when we come to Echa later in the week, Echa just starts off all by itself at the very beginning. How doth the city sits solitary. At the very beginning of the book of Lamentations, we see Jeremiah sitting there looking at the destroyed city, filled with pain, filled with just utter frustration, filled with feelings of desolation internally. He says, Echa yeshvav adad ha'ir rabati am, Hoytak almana, rabati bagoyim, sarati vabdiniot, hoytal amas. Echa, alas, or how can it be that lonely sits the city, once great with people? She that was great amongst nations has become like a widow. The princess amongst states, she has become just a tributary. She's become a thrall. Hard in each case. Rabbi Levi in the Midrash says as follows, this could be likened to a matron. A matron refers to an aristocratic woman who had had three groomsmen, three attendants. One beheld her in her happiness, a second beheld her in fidelity, and the third beheld her in disgrace. Therefore, similarly, Moshe beheld Israel in their glory and happiness and exclaimed, how can myself alone bear all your tediousness? This is the beginning of the emergence of the people of Israel as they came out of Egypt before they came into the land. Isaiah beheld them in their infidelity and exclaimed, How can the city have become this terrible harlot, this zona? Echa haita lazona. And finally, Yirmiyahu beheld them in their disgrace and exclaimed, Echa yeshvav vadad. How can this city have, alas, how can it be yeshvav vadad? How can this city sit alone? And of course, according to Rabbi Levi, you know, it's a tragic story that there was this incredible infusion of energy. There's all sorts of things happening on. Moshe can't bear all the activity. And then activity, of course, sometimes leads to looking in different directions. And Israel, according to Isaiah, has now become subject to infidelity. She's become a harlot. And then, of course, finally the conclusion of what happens is she sits alone like all harlots, like all those who are adulterous. She now sits by herself. She loses her lover, and she loses her husband. And that's one way of looking at it. Another way of taking this is that each of the three explains a terrible deficit that exists within Israel that leads towards destruction. That when Moses says, Echa asal vadi torchachem umasachem v'rivchem, how can I bear them alone, their tediousness, their burden, their argumentation? And according to some of the Mefarshim, the great commentators like the Sforno, points out what are these three terms of the bearing. Torchachem, as he takes out, is your tediousness, that you're always arguing against each other, even in non-monetary objects. Masachem is the public burden, tzorchei rabim, things that the community needs. And rivchem refers to all the argumentations that has to do with money. It's as if the two argumentations surround the word masachem, which is burden. It could very well be, and I'm seeing this in the Sforno, that Moshe says, I can take the masachem, the public need. That's what my job is. I'm supposed to take care of the public. But the fact that they're always arguing over money, rivchem, the fact they're always arguing about anything, terchachem, makes it impossible to even bear the burden of masachem. That's the first thing. And therefore, Moshe says it's impossible to deal with a community that's so cranky, that's so litigious, that's so self-destructive. The second is Isaiah. And when Isaiah talks about what's occurred to this city, what does he say again? She's become, what? How can it be that she's become a harlot? She was a faithful city, but then explains what it means to be a faithful city. A city that itself was faithful, a city that you could trust. She's a harlot not only against God, but she's a harlot because she has betrayed her major ideals. Meleti Mishpat, she was filled with justice, or literally you could say, God had filled her with justice. She was filled with justice. She had righteousness, Tzedek and Mishpat, justice, strict justice. Righteousness, when you go further and see what must be the proper outcome. And now, Meratzchim, they just kill each other. And now, in other words, it's a dangerous city for people. All the notions of what is right, the civil good, the civil correctness, this whole kind of correct society that the Torah makes and has brought into fruition is now worthless. It's just not there. It's a value deficit. If the first one talks about a communal deficit, which leads to the fact that Moshe says the fact is that I can't bear them alone because they're always arguing. The second one talks about a value deficit. And then we get to the deficit in the beginning of Lamentations of a city that sits alone, a city that once great with people, great amongst nations. She's like a widow. And even though, again, we could look about this as the fact, the result of the first two, I'd like to look at it today with you as a fact that it itself is a problem. A city that feels it sits alone. A city that feels that it's empty. What empty here means is empty of meaning, empty of purpose, empty of direction. A city like this is only like a widow, because she's no longer in the great relationship with God. And therefore, once she's no longer in that great relationship, she's no longer a princess among states. She is just dependent upon everyone else. And this is the deficit of meaning. There's three deficits here. Moshe talks about the deficit, and I can say it better now, of a civil ethic. And the civil ethic is of getting along, of resolving differences. Tvarchachem, masachem, rivchem. How can I bear this alone? In any possible way of argumentation, of not just argumentation, not just disagreement, but of just bitterly opposing each other, they find the way. So there's no really civic good, a deficit of civic good. And the second is what Isaiah says, the Haytaka Zonah, she's Lizonah, she's become a harlot, that no longer there's any mishpat, there's no justice there, there's no righteousness, a deficit of civic virtue. It's of the things you really believe in, that you want to inculcate. And the third one is the notion of badad, of being just totally empty, sitting there without any purpose. And before we have consolation, we have to very, very much consider that's our fear about the contemporary Jewish state, Judaism as a whole. We are so contentious. There's nothing we don't tear each other apart over. If we find something to argue about in terms of monetary base, we do that. We can sue each other. If we find something to tear ourselves apart and that even has nothing to do with money, just has to do with general policy, we do so. And having taken care of that, masachem, the legitimate burden of civil burden, which a city must undertake of taking care of people, that is just totally out of the question, because we've expended our energies in trying to stop people from rioting, literally or metaphorically, against each other. And the second thing is what Yeshayahu says, is that in the end, when we talk about Echa, what we're really worried about is the lack of a civil ethic of the good. And the civil ethic of the good is no longer just procedural, that we argue, that we shouldn't argue as much. But the civic ethic is that we've given up on mishpat, on justice. We've given up on tzedek, of righteousness, and making sure that the outcome is fine. Mishpat is itself making sure that judgments are correct. And tzedek refers to public policies moving in the right directions. As a result, you have a murderous city where people come to be hurt and not to be taken care of. And we have this in the Jewish people. And then in the end, what you end up with is as Yirmiyahu says in the beginning of Lamentations, this is a city that sits alone, as if there's nothing within it. For those of us who love Jerusalem, love the Jewish people, love the Jewish state, we know that there's so many virtues, that there are so many things filling the city and filling this country that are so positive. But we look on the dark side, because this is what our rabbis call upon us to do and what our prophets have always instructed us. That's a very fragile house of cards. It can turn, and maybe it has turned, in the opposite direction. Why do we kill each other? Why do we just fight about everything, and therefore we can't even take care of... And since we're always involved with our tedious battles, the Torchachem, and the battles over power, prestige, and money, Rivchem, we can't take care of the Masachem, we can't take care of the public need, which is always there. And therefore, how can we do this to ourselves? Echa. And Echa, we tell us, oh no, that we try to run a city, we try to run our lives, but we forget often about these great ideals of Mishpat, of justice, tzedek, of righteousness. And that will lend us to be Meratzchim. And in the end, what are we? We're empty. We're empty. We're a city that sits alone. I'm not worried about our foreign neighbors. They love us and not love us. But internally, do we have what it takes? Do we have the source of meaning that's just so overwhelming? Or do we become, in a sense, Lamas? We become just a dependent type of country. We're dependent upon others for their culture, dependent upon others for inspiration, dependent upon others for survival. No, if we, if The Jewish statement is that if we live properly, we can defend ourselves properly in every possible way. So that's Echa. And those are the three Echas that we hear during this season. But there is one more Echa. And that's the Echa in Genesis. That when God looks out and sees what Cain has done to Abel, and God says, Ayeka. God says to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And where is he? And in doing so, he's saying to Cain, in a certain sense, this notion of Ayeka, where are you? What have you done? And therefore, when he says to Cain, Hevelachicha, where is your brother Abel? He is referencing to this Ayeka, where are you? And this Ayeka, of course, was what he had said to his father before that, to the first man, to Adam, after Adam and Eve have sinned by eating from the tree. And the Lord God called out to man and said to him, Ayeka, where are you? And Ayeka is the same words and same letters, of Echa. And God laments. He says, Echa, where are you? And Echa, I'm lamenting about you. Ayeka. And it could very well be, therefore, that every time we read the word Echas, which is a term of terrible sadness and of terrible, worrisomeness, that Echa is a term of distress, as if Moshe says, Echa, I cannot deal with this people. They're too contentious. And Isaiah says, Echa, I can't deal with these people. They are only a harlot. They go after the wrong values. They've sold away, they've given away all that really is of worth that belongs to them. And then when Yirmiyahu says the word Echa, the city is sitting alone, devoid of any inner meaning. This is too terrible to bear. Could very well be that in all these cases, we need to read Echa in the reverse. Ayeka, where are we? What are we going to do about our contentiousness? How are we going to heal the rift? Ayeka, what are we going to do about the fact that we do not have the proper tzedek and mishpat and tzedek, the proper justice and righteousness that we need to have for in our creating the civic good? And when Yirmiyahu says Echa, how could it be that the city is sitting alone, solitary, as if it has no values, empty? We say, Ayeka, where can we find those values once again? And once we're able to turn the word Echa to Ayeka, just as God had changed the term from Ayeka to Echa, but when we turn it in that positive sense, perhaps then we can begin to become consoled and work towards the future. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send your emails to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.